a song this morning with you all. We're missing one of ours. Some of the twins are not feeling so well, so Jeremy's aren't here, but something about holidays that bring family together, so that's a blessing. Thank you, family, for joining me with that. Could we rise together for a word of prayer? Almighty Maker of our frame, Father, we exalt you this morning and bless your name. Thank you for the things that we've heard this morning already, and that's the blessing that we have in gathering and worshiping you, the Son of God, the living sacrifice, Savior of the world, redemption plan that you have so graciously planned for mankind after we have fallen away and went our own way, went astray. You've sought us back to yourself. We're grateful and thankful, Lord. Pray that you would inspire us this morning from your word. Pray that it would be rich to our hearts and alive in our souls. So bless us as we share together around your word. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, the Lord bless each one of us together this morning. Welcome and greeting in Jesus' name. Thank you, young people, for sharing. That was a blessing. Something that stood out to me was just your hunger and your open hearts through the Bible school, and we heard that again this morning, just your open hearts to receive the word, and where it pricked, you allowed it to prick. And I'd encourage you, pull those messages back up again. There were some really, really good, solid teachings that were given that will bless your life over and over again. And the things that really did stand out to you, I think those are the things that it's good to go back and revisit them again. And and change your lives. We've sang two of the songs this morning that we sang had this word in it right here. And that word, as we know, means this. God with us. That's what it means. Emmanuel. The time of the year that we're living in today, and a lot of people are celebrating, they're getting together, they're not all celebrating maybe the same things that we are. Well, I think it's right and good that we reflect on the birth of Christ. It probably wasn't this time of the year necessarily that he was born, and yet I don't think it's wrong for us to remember his birth. But we don't worship a babe in a manger. He's a risen Lord, gone before us to God, seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us, and he's coming again. So he was here, and there was prophecies given of him coming. I want to read a few of those to you. In Isaiah 9, verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And Jesus was all of those. Many of those he demonstrated while he was here. Isaiah 7, 14 to 15 says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive." That's an impossibility from human standpoint. "But a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. In Matthew chapter 1, begin reading in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. In fact, if he would have followed through with what the law would have commanded, she should have been stoned because of her, quote, she was not pure. And so in that respect, she would have needed to be stoned. Joseph wasn't willing to do that, to make her a public example, and was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Also in John 1, verse 14, he says this, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We know Jesus was that Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. I'd just like to highlight that for us today. And I don't know what goes through your mind when you think about Emmanuel and God with us. How precious is that to us as individuals, that God is with us? Is that precious to us? Does that mean anything to us? We can sing those nice songs about Emmanuel, but does it actually mean something to us personally? I'd like to write maybe 4 points up here on the board, and then we'll discuss those. How do we know that God is with us? What can we face when God is with us? These are all questions there. And then I'd like to look at benefits we reap because God is with us. And lastly, forever with the Lord. So how do we know? How do we know that God is with us? How do you know that God is with you? Anybody? Is God not with us? His Spirit. His Spirit is with us, yes. He speaks to me throughout the day. He answers prayers. Always yes. Sometimes it's no. But he does answer our prayers. We're confident of that. He hears them. Others. Yes. Peace in the midst of difficulty. It's good. Can we feel it? God's with us? Do we always feel it, that God is with us? Sometimes, sometimes not. Sometimes we don't feel that God is with us. Sometimes we do, and it's glorious, isn't it? We know that God is with us. We can sense his presence. We know he's there with us, and right in the midst of our whatever we find ourselves in. Is it safe to rely upon God himself when God himself tells us in his word that he is with us? Is that a safe place to rely, knowing that God is with us? I think it is. In Matthew 20, verse 20, we read the first part of Matthew. And I would like to read in the last chapter of Matthew a verse. And Matthew starts with God with us at Jesus' birth. And he ends with God will be with us. He ends it that way. In the Great Commission, just going to break in, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Jesus' promise to his disciples. Here's another verse that talks about God being with us. And it's a pretty familiar verse. Even the children know this verse. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Help me. For thou art with me. Let's do it all together. For thou art with me. For thou art with me. In Exodus 33, it's the account of Moses before God. I believe he was on Mount Sinai. And they were gathered there. In verse 12 through verse 15, God was talking to Moses and telling him, giving him direction to go to the land of promise and to taking the children of Israel there. Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, this was God speaking now to Moses, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And Moses said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Now, I don't know if you've ever felt that way in life. In response to maybe things that God is allowing to come your way or responsibilities that will come your way, God has to be with me. And Moses felt that way. This job is too big. God needs to go with me. Found this little interesting allegory, maybe. I'm not sure what you call it. Are you a sailboat Christian? Making progress in the Lord only if the winds are favorable and things go your way? Or are you a tugboat Christian, pushing ahead according to God's word, even though The gales are against you. Which kind of Christian are we? Sailboat Christian or a tugboat? I'll say this about this question. How do we know that God is with us? The way we really know is just the way that you and I both all believe that God created the world, right? How else do we know? But it's written. And what we believe is God's authoritative book that tells us that that's what happened. A six-day creation. How do we know that God is with us? Because he's told us so. He's told us he would be with us. The feelings will come and go. They'll come and go. But not God's word. God's word's still the same. It's still true. There's times we sense that God is near. There's times we sense he's not as near. Maybe he's far away. And sometimes we simply walk by faith just because we know that this is what God said. I thought about how even an unjust person who finds himself to be a sinner before God and God is far away. How far away is God from him? Well, if he continues down that path, God's going to be far away from him. But what if he repents? If you've ever prayed with someone who is repenting and confessing his sin, and then he reaches out in faith to take a hold of the salvation that God has provided, all of a sudden, you just know God is right there. And God is sweet. And God is there. While he may have felt just a minute ago that God was far away, all of a sudden he's right there with us. Isn't that beautiful? There are times when trials and tests come and you wonder, where is God in all of this? But he says he's not far away from any one of us. Do you think that persecuted Christians today always feel like God is right there with them? We read these wonderful stories about martyrs and how God was with them, and they endured tremendous suffering, and God was with them. Do you think they always felt like God was with them? Probably not. When they were beaten, when they were tortured, when they were imprisoned, when they were interrogated, and they were starving. But God was right there. He was there. Whether they felt him or not, he was there with them. Emmanuel, God with us. What can we face when God is with us? What can we face when God is with us? Could we go through life crippled if we knew that God was with us? I know of a young man not so many years ago who had a terrible accident. It was a four-wheeler accident, and he was paralyzed. And he struggled tremendously with the fact that he would never walk again and would be confined to a wheelchair all his life. I have a cousin married to a man like that. And he had a bicycle accident and was paralyzed from his waist down. And he has lived in a wheelchair the rest of his life. He was a very active young man. But he's also a man, I believe, that has accepted the fact that he is this way. God has allowed that. God is with me. How would it be to, I don't see so well sometimes when things are a little close. I can see you all real good this way. But what if we would be going blind? Could we face life blind if we knew God was with us? Some of us, and I think probably it would affect all of us, if we would be diagnosed with a terminal illness, how would that affect us? How would that affect our life? It would drastically affect us. But could we face that if we knew God was with us? How about if our business burns to the ground? Nothing saved. Would God still be there? Would He still be with us? We'd lose everything. Maybe our home. People have lost their homes in various ways. Think about the people in North Carolina who, one morning, they woke up early. There was a tremendous storm going through. They just escaped with their life. Their house was all crashed down, washed away. There's people who, in our area, we probably don't have hurricanes, but we have tornadoes go through, just wipe everything out. Can we face those things if we know God is with us? Famine, persecution. We don't know a lot about those things, maybe, as we will yet, maybe. But persecution is a real thing in many countries. How about facing death? Can we face those things like Psalm 23 tells us that? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. You see that? When God is with us. Paul says it this way in Romans 8, 38 through 39. He says, for I am persuaded. How persuaded are we about it? Paul didn't use the term that God was with him, but I think he was thinking about those things. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Are we that persuaded of that fact that God is with us? Nothing will separate us from him. Think about Moses. See, we can go back and we can get the beginning and we see the end. Was God with Moses? There's no question, right? Did Moses always feel like God was with him? Probably not. There were some pretty big tests that came Moses' way. He even failed one of them, right? And wasn't able to enter the promised land. Was God with him? Yes, he was. Think about King David. Before he was king, he had killed Goliath. Was God with him? Sure was. He was right there. That was pretty powerful, wasn't it? I think David probably sensed that God was there with him. He had that confidence. How about later on when he was running for his life? And when a lot of the Psalms were written in light of that. He was running for his life from Saul. Saul was after him numerous times. Where was God then? Was he still with him? Yes, he was. God was still with him. How about Peter? He was put in prison to be apprehended the very next day. Was God with him in the prison? I love that story because it seems like Peter was at rest because he was sleeping. If I was to be apprehended the next day, I probably wouldn't be sleeping. I don't know. How would you face it? Maybe I would. But I think Peter had a rest. God was with him. If this is going to be my end, so be it. But the angel woke him up and walked him right out of the prison, through the doors, through the locked doors, right into the gates. God was with him, wasn't he? Paul and Silas were in prison as well. Were beaten. They were in the stocks. They were tied up. They couldn't get away. But they sang praises. And God heard them. And guess what? God was with them, right? There was a great earthquake. The doors opened up. Where was God when Paul was on a ship? And the storm was great. There was a 2-week storm. And they had been fasting for 14 days because of this storm. And they lightened the ship, tried to make it to land. Where was God? Was God there? Was God with Paul? He was. God talked to him. He said, "You're all going to make it alive. You're all going to get out of this thing. The ship's going to be lost." And it was. Broken to pieces. But they all made it to shore. Let me ask you another question. Does God have to prove something to us before we will believe that he is with us? That's the point I'd like to drive home this morning with us. I think of all these illustrations, these examples. We could talk about Daniel. We could talk about the Hebrew children in the fire. And there's so many examples where God was right there with these people, right in the midst of their hard, hard things that they were facing. They probably couldn't feel God at that time. Does God have to do something like that to us before we'll believe that he's with us? Or can we rest and know that God is with us? Thomas said that he wouldn't believe that Jesus was alive until he put his finger in the nail prints and thrust his hand in his side. You know what Jesus told him? Jesus said unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." Lord, help us. Like to look at the benefits that we reap because that God is with us. Have you considered the benefits that we have because of Emmanuel? Because that God is with us. Because that Jesus came into this world to be that perfect Lamb of God. To die for the sins of humanity. To show us the way to God. Have we considered the benefits that we reap because God is with us? I'm going to go through them quickly, and I probably don't have them all. The first one I have is salvation. Obviously, the Savior of the world. We read that Jesus, he shall save his people from their sins. Salvation, Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's a benefit that we reap because of Emmanuel, because God with us. The forgiveness of sin is another one. In Ephesians 1, verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, Where would we be today if God would not have sent his Son to be that perfect sacrifice? He did that while he was here, right? God with us. Colossians 1, verse 27 says this, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory in this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's a benefit that we have because Christ came, the hope of glory. Christ in us, the hope of glory. We have in Psalm 46, verse 1, a lot of us could quote that by heart. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. We have help in trouble because of Emmanuel, because God is with us. There's a lot of people that don't have that. Isn't that so? I think a few years back when we had missionaries in Haiti and they were kidnapped, they were held hostage, they desired ransom for them. Can anybody answer the question, was God with them? What do you think? Was God with those hostages who were being held? He was, wasn't he? Very clearly what God was with them. Do you think they always felt that while they were locked up in that house? No. There were some very discouraging moments. They didn't know what was going to happen. If they'd have known the end, they'd all been rejoicing, right? God's going to deliver us. We know it. They didn't know that. And that's how we are in the midst of our trials, our struggles. We don't always see the end, and we doubt, is God really with me? Help in trouble. In Isaiah 43, verse 2, through the trials and tests, God is there. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. To one of the churches in Revelation, chapter 3, verse 10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. You see, God is with us, even in our trials and the tests that he allows to come our way. Isaiah 41, verse 17, another benefit that we have is answered prayer. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them, and the God of Israel will not forsake them. Another benefit that we have is that he understands us. Isn't it nice when somebody understands you? I like that. I've been misunderstood. So have you. And isn't it such a blessing when people, oh, that's what you meant. Now I get it. And I understand. Yeah. That's how God is. He understands us. Well, why wouldn't he? He made us. So of course he understands us. He understands, he remembers our frame. He remembers that we are but dust. Hebrews 2, verse 18, this is talking about Jesus. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor or to help them that are tempted. And just because Jesus lived here and he faced those temptations, he understands what we face in the midst of our temptations. How many of you are ever tempted? How many of us have ever failed those temptations? Yeah. Jesus wouldn't have raised his hand on that last question. He wouldn't have raised his hand. He was perfect in those temptations. But did he face them? Yes, he faced them. He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So he understands. He knows. It's a benefit that we have. Two more. He promised to be where two or three are gathered in his name. Found in Matthew 18, verse 20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. That's the benefit we have. Christ in the midst. Lastly, the Comforter is sent to be with us when Jesus went back to heaven. That's a benefit that we have. So Jesus is no longer physically walking around here on this earth. But Jesus said very clearly in John 14, 16 through 18, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you, Jesus said. Today, Jesus is at the Father's right hand. But he was very concerned about this thing continuing God with us. He says, I'm going back. I'm going back to God. But I'm going to send his Spirit, the one that conceived Christ, that was a part of that conception. I'm going to send the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, back down here so that he can be with you all the time, everywhere you go. It's to be a comfort to us, isn't it? Here's a few other precious verses that talk about him being with us. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8 to 10, we are troubled on every side, Paul says, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. That's Christ being with us right in the middle of our trials. Psalm 139, 17 and 18. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Did you find that this morning when you woke up? Laying there on your bed, God is still with me. God is right there. We had talked about a crippled just a little bit. I'd like to read this little account here. How can a God of love, who has everything in his control, let such a thing happen to me? Ask a young lady who had received severe injuries through a fall from a horse. Crippled for life, she overheard the doctor say. The pastor was silent for a moment. Did you suffer much pain when they put you in the cast? The pain was terrible. So where was your father then? He stood right by me. Did your father allow the doctor to hurt you that way? The pastor asked. Yes, but it was necessary. Did your father allow the doctor to hurt you even though he loved you or because he loved you? You mean to suggest that because God loves me, he has also allowed me to be hurt? The pastor nodded. God says, this thing is from me. Let those five words comfort you. They will furnish a silver lining in the clouds. This thing is from me. Yours is not a case of, quote, hard luck. This trial was planned by God. If you are his child, he is preparing you for better service. Shakespeare said, in sickness, let me not so much say, am I getting better of my pain? But am I getting better for it? Let us not say, when will I get out of this? But what will I be getting out of this? Some very good words. Lastly, Emmanuel, God with us. Do you know that God wants to forever be with us? That's why this here to begin with. Because God wants to forever be with the ones he created for his glory. He wants to be with us forever. Think about that. God wants to be with me for all eternity? Oh, no, I'm not worthy of that. I don't know why, you know. But that's what he wants. John 14, verse 1 to 3. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, notice these words, that where I am, there ye may be also forever with the Lord. Isn't it good of God not only to send his only Son to be the salvation plan and bring redemption, but that he wants to be with us for all eternity? That's almost too good to be true. It's a truth from Jesus to us who believe it. 1 Thessalonians 4, 15 to 18. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That's my heart this morning, is to comfort us with those precious words that God is with us. How do we know he's with us? Because his word says so. Because God himself said so. Isn't that enough? We don't have to have some great dynamic thunder from heaven to know that God is with us when he said he was going to be. What could we face when God is with us? There's a lot of hard things that will come our way. What are the benefits? We talked about that. And God wants to forever be with us. Are we ready to meet him in the air? Are we ready to meet the Lord Jesus when he comes back again? Do you want to spend all eternity with God? Or does that trouble your mind right now? Does it trouble your mind that, oh, we're going to spend all eternity with God? I think if we're ready to meet him and we understand his presence with us, and it'll be a glorious thing. And by the way, in heaven, you won't be bored. There's nothing like bored Christians in heaven. Nothing like it. And not only that, you don't want to miss it. The alternative is terrible. You don't want to miss it. But it starts right here. On this side of eternity is when it starts. Knowing that God is now with me. He has many promises to those who seek his face. God is angry with the wicked every day. It's true. And there are consequences for not choosing his plan of salvation. There are consequences for that. That's why today, if we'll hear his voice, let's not harden our heart. We are all going to stand before Christ with God one day. I get this picture. You know, it gives us that picture in Revelation, great white throne judgment, where all of us will one day stand before God, I believe, one by one. And who's going to be there? It's going to be you. It's going to be God. And I think it's going to be Jesus on the right hand of God. And he'll be judging us. It says Christ is going to, he's given all judgment to Christ. Christ is going to judge us because he knows. He's been here. He knows what we're like. He redeemed us. Will he at that point be our Savior? Or will he be our judge? Those are the questions. Will he be our Savior or our judge? It starts on this side of eternity. God is with us. Emmanuel. Let our hearts be encouraged with that. God bless you.